Hey everyone, welcome to Savage to Sage, where we explore the evolution of entrepreneurs. In this show, we hear from leaders on the challenges and breakthroughs that have shaped them on their journey toward becoming a sage.
Welcome back, everybody, to Savage to Sage. This is Daniel, the co-host, and today I'm really excited to be joined by Zach Dalms. Zach is one of the co-founders at Achieve Engagement, and I got connected to Zach because of some mutual connections in the HR and talent space. We at Fullstack are really interested overall in the employee experience and this type of work that Zach and his team are working on at Achieve Engagement really resonate with our core mission of, you know, really enhancing the employee experience for our clients. And so I'd like to welcome Zach. And Zach, could you give us the quick skinny on Achieve Engagement?
Yeah, absolutely. No, thank you for having me here with you and your network and community. And yeah, I am one of our directors and leaders at Achieve Engagement. I lead our community and our programming and a number of other things that any entrepreneur has to handle in their own journeys. But we are a global HR people leader community and really bonded together to rethink the ways in which we achieve engagement. And we do that by bringing together all sorts of different types of thought leaders and authors, people who are doing research in this space, vendors like HR tech companies that are really making an impact, as well as internal practitioners. So you think of those CHROs, chief of people, chief of staff, or some of those HR executives. We bring all these people together to help really unlock some of those different perspectives on all the things that we're dealing with within this crazy world of work that's always changing. And it's obviously a really challenging space to work in, whether you're a founder building a team or growing in operations or an HR executive supporting the employee experience. So this is really a powerful place for someone who's looking for resources, but also looking for a community to navigate these things with.
That's awesome. I'm just curious. I mean, I know employee engagement, especially in the last, you know, 10 years, I'd say has become like this big, it's like a big buzzword in HR and talent. And it, you know, gets some people excited. And I think it makes other people roll their eyes. What was it for you that made you set out to like to start this and step out on your own with your team and go for this?
Yeah, I think it was a mix of maybe two things for me. One on just some deeper discovery of my own passions and personal purpose around really trying to develop deeper relationships with other people around me, and not only having relationships with them, but being able to do things with them at a deeper level and have some sense of like shared impact. And I found one company culture, organizational culture, to be one of those underlying things that accomplishes that. So that was one like personal trigger for me. It was like, okay, how can I learn this craft and this piece of our workforce that can help make larger levels of impact between the people that are in those spaces? The other experience that really triggered me to be in here was just experiencing really good and really bad workplaces, ones that were really toxic or dysfunctional with leadership teams who haven't developed themselves into leading companies, or just these dysfunctional operations that withhold really amazing things from reaching their potential. So seeing that gap in the space and having a lot of people around me are saying they hate their work, they hate their job, they hate going to this organization, and company leaders always struggling to attract talent and engage them and getting people to stay with them. It shined a huge light on obviously a gap and a challenge in the marketplace. So I had a passion for it and I saw an opportunity for it because there was obviously a problem in this space, and thought, you know what, maybe I can help solve these things. Maybe I can develop a better way of doing these things that solve some of these issues, which obviously creates a business opportunity. So that's why we're like, okay, should we create a business around this? And haven't looked back.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I know we're going to dive into one particular topic a little bit later that I'd love to hear your perspective on. And that's just leadership development. And especially how I think it's an expectation now of Gen Zs, millennials, that leadership development component and finding more purpose in their work and the growth opportunities really is like, it's kind of become table stakes for a lot of opportunities that they're looking for. I was just curious, before we dive into that, like, could you describe what the savage days, we like to call them, have been like for you? So you made, I know from knowing your story, you had been in some talent consulting, HR consulting, and then you decided to join forces on Achieve Engagement. So what have the savage days been like for you in terms of what's been the pace, like just getting this up and running into a business and into where it is today?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to kind of reflect on the savage days, because then sometimes you're like, wow, those were the days, right? Like those were like times where you're just so alive and you're just really fighting every single day to live within your passions or for this dream or thing that you're trying to build and bring to life. And there's just so much energy in those days. But then it's also just, there's a lot of down days in those days too, right? And for me, I would say sometimes I found myself very fortunate where I had a community of people around me that I could lean on during the tough times, where I didn't have invoices coming in at the right time, so I wasn't able to pay rent or bills, so I was, you know, crashing at friends' places even in some of those savage days. And even one of the earliest places I rented from was one of my best friends. We were like, hey, we'll let you rent this for this like very cheap amount because we know what you're trying to do. And so I think the savage days were like tough, but I was also very fortunate to have like a very supportive community of friends and family around me who supported me and was like, go for it and whatnot. And I'm extremely grateful for those experiences, but they are times where you are stepping, I feel like, into a consistent unknown environment, and you're just really not sure how that environment's going to react to the things that you're trying to do and if it's going to work out. And most of the time it didn't. And having to develop this personal relationship with fear and failure and rejection, and that alone was really tough. And you find yourself second guessing a lot of the times. But I think there's also so many amazing parts where it's like when things do work out and they, you know, you do get some of those wins. I sometimes relate it to golf, right? Like I'm horrible at golf. I hit maybe like one or two good shots every three holes. But it's like when you do hit one of those good shots, you're like, all right, I'm back in. I'm in for this. This is awesome. I love golf. And I often think of that like for the savage days where when things are going wrong, but you get that one win that week, or you get that one meeting on the calendar with the person you've been calling or trying to get after for 3 weeks, and you're like, all right, we're in, we're moving, we're building momentum, this is working, right? And I don't know, that's the fun part of the roller coaster.
Yeah, that's so true. I was about to ask you before you shared that last little bit about, you know, how do you keep going? Because when you experience failure, rejection, you know, over and over again, which is kind of the life of the startup, it can become demoralizing. And I think it's that's the point when a lot of people give up too and say, like, I'm either they're forced to give up because, you know, the money's not there, or just emotionally they're like, they're done. And so what, besides like those, you know, those wins, occasional wins or good shots, to use your metaphor, like what else was it that kept you going?
Yeah. So yeah, definitely, like, obviously recognizing and celebrating those wins. Another part of that kept me going that I already mentioned was just like, I had that supportive community around me and people surrounded around, like, all the time, going in co-working spaces, sharing with my family and sharing with my friends what I'm trying to do and what I'm working on, so they could be aware of it so that then they can support me in it. I think sometimes we kind of stay in our bunkers and we kind of try to build this thing in our little laboratories in our small apartments or whatever, wherever we are. And I think that you're not allowing your community to support you if you're not exposing and sharing it with them. So that's something I always proactively have done. And one of my first customers came from my uncle, who I was like, he won't even understand what I'm talking about. How is he going to help me in this situation? If I would have hung on to that mindset and never told him, he would have never been able to be like, oh, I actually know someone in that role at this company that you should talk to. So I think having that supportive community around me was like essential. I'll say the other piece that was always foundational, and it sounds cheesy, and I work in the culture space, so I preach this all the time, but I truly believe it into being fundamental and foundational for any founder entrepreneur, is like having actually that like greater purpose, like that statement, that reason you're doing this, something beyond just making a lot of money, or something beyond just, I want to be my own boss. That's, for me, that's not enough. So I really needed this thing bigger than me that reminded me why I started doing this in the first place, to pull me out of those dark places or times that you're going to end up in. So for me, I kind of always had to remind myself over and over again, like, okay, this is the reason I'm doing it. Not because of this, like this other stuff that I'm not getting yet, like the money or the huge business success. It's this thing. So let's keep it focused on that. And that always seemed to build some energy in me to keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like that start Simon Sinek, like start with why. It's probably the most important work that we've seen in the last like 20 years around that concept. But like, what was your why that you drew on in those times? I'm curious.
Yeah. So for me, one of the things that always energized me, even just before starting a business, was the relationships piece. I find that, I think, you know, I personally believe that one of our biggest purposes on earth is to develop deep relationships with the people around us, and also develop deep relationships with them in a way that allow you to experience things together that you couldn't do alone. So for me, that's always been at the core of everything I do. And when I think about that purpose, I go, okay, how can I go then build a business around that? And how can I help companies who have people that feel extremely disconnected from each other? I mean, we hear that all over there. Like, oh, I don't feel connected to the people I work with. I don't have a good relationship with my manager. I don't feel connected to my job and the purpose that we're doing. I feel like I'm just showing up, punching numbers and things like that. There's always that relationship piece. So I was like, okay, I know how to, I have deep relationships in my life. I know how to develop deep relationships in my life. I know the things that enable that. And I know things that enable people to use those relationships to collaborate and create greater impacts with each other. So I'm of service to that purpose. I'm serving this purpose of helping people develop deeper relationships with each other and also do things together at a deeper level. And I found, again, that's like always been what I connect to. And I'm like, okay, when I'm doing this program coming up, how does this enable that? And how is this an element into creating deeper relationships?
Yeah, I love that. At Full Stack, we talk about the human experience, and we kind of continually go back to that of, you know, each of our clients has, you know, an owner who's a human who has all the same ups and downs as any other human being. Like, a lot of times we elevate owners, partners of companies, like into these superhuman people that have achieved like incredible things just to start a business and survive the startup stage and scale. But like, they incredible people, but they're also like humans. And so like, how can we enhance that human experience of an owner? How can we enhance the human experience of an employee who shows up every day? And what are their human needs? And I think, yeah, so, and that, it seems to be like a common theme here between like our whys, I think, is like, but ultimately what you're saying is like, what gets me out of bed in the morning to keep going? Because especially when you're in a you know, a sales or a growth role within a startup scale up company, you know, like you have to face a ton of no's, rejection, and to keep going, and you have to remind yourself of that why often. So that's good. And would you say, just like pivoting a little bit here to kind of the topic at hand, you know, that we talked about, like, would you say that's more and more of a need for employee engagement, is that employees are looking for their managers, their leaders to help them connect with like the deeper purpose or the greater purpose of the company? Is that like, are you seeing that right now, and like both in stories and in data?
Yeah, that is definitely always especially I would say since, you know, a lot of the events in 2020 since have really sparked this at a deeper level. Definitely showing up before that as well, but I don't think executives were really feeling it at that point. Now, founders and executives are feeling it. Like, we are experiencing the turnover, the disengagement, the attrition rates, and things like that, because people don't feel that connection. Like, literally, they are leaving their jobs without another job lined up because of that lack of connection. And that is happening right now. So I like to look at it at layers though, right? And I think foundationally, and something we talk a lot about at Achieve Engagement, is one of our belonging programs. And people want to feel this sense of belonging in their lives. They want to feel a sense of belonging with their families and the people they're around with. They want to feel a sense of belonging with the community they live in and the friends and that are around them. And they want to feel that within their organization as well. And there's kind of different things that create that experience that I belong here. And part of that is my role has a purpose within the mission and the strategy and the future of this company. If I don't understand like how my day-to-day role is connected to that, then I'm just either consciously or unconsciously thinking, why am I even here then, right? Like, why does my position exist if it doesn't impact the future of this company, whether you're connecting it to the vision and where you're trying to go and the strategic plan and direction, or if you do have that really deep and meaningful purpose or mission statement. If it's not connected to that, people naturally go, well, then my stuff doesn't really matter, because what am I doing this for? So you have to clearly and you have to help. You can't expect people to just naturally connect that, especially if you're a founder and you've built a team. Like, you feel that connection because you've built this thing and you've been part of it since the beginning. You just brought someone in from the outside. Like, they don't know that connection yet. So you have to help build that for them and literally talk to them clearly around like why their role matters, why they matter at this organization, and why they do have a purpose and impact in that direction. And then naturally they go, you know what? I'm gonna go above and beyond. I'm gonna stick here because I do belong and they care about my contribution. And that creates this whole energetic type experience for someone when they do feel that connection piece.
Yeah, that's good. So earlier I probably made, you know, I didn't mean to be divisive in my comment, but I think like the term employee engagement, I would say it's like you get a lot of HR people really excited, you know, when you talk about that. And then you've got a lot of, like, I'd say a lot of owners and not to like specifically like call out probably like, you know, Gen X and baby boomer owners of companies that are just like, yeah, that's great. But, you know, like, we need people to like, we have a business to run, you know, we have money to make, we have sales goals to hit, you know, and you go down the line. And so like, how do you respond to that? I wouldn't even call it an objection, but it's like when you have those two realities of, you know, got this employee engagement goal and wanting to, you know, wanting people to be seen, known, and loved, you know, and supported and connected to a higher purpose. And then you have like these business goals that are just like, you know, a salesperson needs to hit these numbers in order to hit their goal in order to help the company grow. And So like, how are you hearing that conversation go right now, especially with multiple generations involved?
Yeah, it is. It is sometimes, I would say that's one of the biggest challenges for HR is connecting these sometimes, most of the time, like very qualitative things to quantitative things, right? And the language of a CFO, COO, and then CEO, obviously, too, are very more connected to those quantitative metrics, right? How much revenue is coming in? What's our customer retention and how much are we holding on to every year? What's new business coming in versus farmed business with our current customer? Like these are very measurable metrics that we can connect with. We can look directly at. It's tangible. So when we say employee engagement and we're saying like, okay, there's these scores, but they're kind of calculated by qualitative insights. It's hard for me to really understand like how to prioritize this. And how does that impact new sales coming into the business? How does that impact customer retention? Because that's what keeps the lights on at the end of the day. So one, we really do try to make it more of a metric as much as possible. Something that is tangible and not just this fluffy thing and just say culture. It's just the feeling when you walk into the building, right? Like, and that's sometimes where you get the eyes roll. It's like, okay, whatever. Like, tell me about how to actually grow my business, please. But when you can start to think about employee engagement as a multiplier to those metrics, you can start to prioritize it in a way that gets buy-in from the executive team. So it's saying, there are quantifiable ways to start surveying and measuring these things and connecting them to outputs. And we just did a session on this for leadership development actually today, a whole masterclass. And basically looking at, we'll share an example, like you send a cohort of leaders through a leadership development program, you measure their engagement scores against the engagement scores of a crew that did not go through the leadership development program and see if there's any differences between that. And then you also look at performance of those two different groups, right? So, okay, is this group that went through the leadership development program performing at a higher level? Are they bringing in new sales? Are their books of business retaining more customers versus the ones that's not? And now you start to build these correlations between employee engagement and, you know, customer retention and performance and some of those things. So you kind of have to create those webs a little bit, but then it does what you will notice, because this is shown over and over again with companies, is there is this multiplier effect where when it's working, when engagement's high, it has a major multiplier on those metrics that are top of mind for CFOs, like growth, retention, and things like that. When engagement's low, it also has a multiplier from a negative lens on those things as well. So it's like, once you start to be able to make that connection, it's pretty hard to ignore.
Yeah. I like that, because I think that was early on, you know, and when I, my startup with prior to Full Stack, and then just the early days of Full Stack, you know, I talked the talk of like a lot of HR consultants, and then there were a ton of like HR and talent consultants, and they were focused strictly on, you know, basically everybody was saying, we're going to help you attract and retain talent, and we'll show you the data there if you focus on culture and employee engagement. But they weren't necessarily tying that to business outcomes. It was just like, you know, how expensive is it to, you know, to turn over somebody. That was kind of the only tangible metric they were drawing on. But I what you're saying is like, yeah, like how could we measure the impact of client retention, you know, for as a leading indicator on, you know, employee engagement, and as well as like sales metrics, like these things that are the lifeblood of all businesses, you know. That's where I think you get the attention of people. So
you can get people really excited about that piece. And I would just add, like, that one is usually the common one to go to, just because it's easier to look at. And it's saying, hey, if your turnover is this percentage, and this is how much you're investing into payroll, benefits, training for that person, and also pin like the underperformance side of things. Because sometimes we get the objection of like, well, our growth numbers are great. Our customer retention is really high right now. Like, so employee engagement doesn't matter. It's been better than it's ever been before, right? And that is a very valid like response of like, well, we must be doing something, right? Like, but then if it's like, that's where maybe you take that approach of like, okay, I'm not trying to disagree or object that part. What I want to do is improve your margins on that. Because if you still have really good performance, but you're bleeding out the back end because you're investing in all this money into people that are not staying or providing value to those things, you know, your margins and actually like profit of all that extra revenue you're bringing in is actually, you're diminishing it. Like, wouldn't you like to capitalize on that margin a little bit, right? So that's where maybe that conversation comes in too.
That's so good. I'm curious, like, speak to, as we finish up our time here today, like, what are those leadership development practices that, you know, have been impactful for you and your own, you know, journey as a leader? And then what, for somebody, like the audience, statistically, the audience for Savage to Sage is usually going to be like executives at and founders of small companies, you know, across the US. Like, what advice would you give to them in terms of if they want to start a leadership development initiative and be really intentional about it? Like, where would you recommend that they start?
Yeah. Well, for starters, for me personally, development has been a key contributor to all of my success in life. And part of it's because, especially when you're an entrepreneur building something new, for me, I'm a new business entrepreneur. Like, obviously this may be different for those that have like built businesses before and now they're building another business and gone through it. For me, that was not the case. So I had to like figure this out. Like, I knew how to develop relationships with people and design programs to solve that, but I didn't know how to be a business owner. I didn't know how to run finances and work in QuickBooks and put together marketing campaigns. And I had some sales experience, but that was another piece. So I think one of the biggest gaps that I've always seen in the founder communities that I am connected with is sometimes we're like salespeople, so we can do really good at sales, or we're really technical people, so we're really good at developing the product. But that's ultimately not enough to actually put together a successful business and you know, navigate these waters. So for me, I really had to figure out like, okay, what are the skill sets needed to be a successful founder? And what are the skill sets needed to grow a business? And I had to literally write that down. Like, okay, I need to learn marketing and how to do campaigns and social media. I need to learn how to do more cold calling and direct outreach and run a sales process. I had to figure out how to run the numbers and make sure invoices are coming in and, you know, we're paying people and things like that. And then once we started hiring people, you know, yeah, sure, I'm a culture guy and I'm talking about that, but it's a lot different when you're actually hiring and building your own team. So I had to learn to become more of a delegator versus an executor. So those are things that you're going to have to navigate. And that was my biggest growth journey in this world of entrepreneurship. For those that are trying to grow, you know, their own plan in this space, one, I would definitely start with yourself. Think about the company you're trying to grow into, the human you're trying to grow into, and what do you need to keep working on? Because I think sometimes when we reach a certain level of success, we then plateau in our development. And that's across an entire company. So sometimes companies get to a certain level of success, they get their first million, first 10 million, they get some investment. They tend to deprioritize development because they've made it to this checkpoint, this milestone. But to become let's say you're a $10 million company and you're trying to become a $100 million company, you gotta develop. Like, you gotta change the way you as a leader are leading. You gotta learn new organizational models. There's so much things that to grow into that new character, you kind of have to think about that. And that's also where I would start for the rest of the company as well, is thinking, okay, you know, our first founding team are now team managers. Now those first hires are team managers as well. There's certain skill sets that we just know, depending on your industry, that you're just going to have to develop within your people. So that's one way to start. The other part is thinking about, okay, where are we today? Where are we trying to go? Because we're obviously not there yet. We're not where we're trying to go yet, or else we'd be there, right? So it's like there's obviously a gap in your development. You're not capable of it yet. So use that as a guide to be like, okay, what skill sets, what capabilities are necessary to become that thing that we're trying to grow into? And outline that. That's like a needs analysis, right? And that will start to guide you into being like, okay, now we can start developing a plan. How do we build that? And that's where you just get into different leadership development frameworks, right? You bring trainers in, you do coaching, you do mentorship, you read books. You know, there's so many things you can do, and that's a bigger strategy. But I would start with where you're trying to go to guide your development strategy. Like, use that as a compass for you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this has been fantastic. And I'm sure after people hear this, they'll want to hear more about Achieve and learn more. So where would you point them to connect with you and Achieve?
Yeah, so we got achieveengagement.org. It's the easiest place. We do tons of programs that are free to join whenever you want if you're trying to learn and develop on all things employee experience. We also have our exleadershipnetwork.org, which is a sub-community of Achieve Engagement, which is really only for internal executives. So you have to be a leadership level, peer network, and kind of mastermindy, masterclass type group. So that's another way. Otherwise, you could just find me on LinkedIn, connect with me there as well. Just LinkedIn, Zach Adams, and we can connect there as well.
Awesome, Zach. Well, thank you so much. This is fantastic. And look forward to the next time we get to chat.
Yeah. No, I appreciate you having me. This was fun.
Thank you for listening to today's interview. To view show notes or hear more episodes, please visit www.savagetosage.com.